Well, hello.
Hello. She's sleeping in her little nest over there.
Aw. Who's she?
Mavis.
And who's Mavis?
She's our new kitten, helping ease some of the pain of our missing kitty, who has now been gone for over a week.
Oh, buddy.
Still really desperately hoping he returns, but my other cat was straight depressed. The kids were depressed. I was sad and depressed. It is kitten season right now. All the shelters have a million kittens.
There are a lot of kittens out there.
We just decided to scoop one up and see if we could inject a little joy, but we still miss our other kitty.
Of course.
The hard thing is not having the closure. If he had some illness or gotten hit by a car or something, at least I would know.
Right.
But I just don't know what happened to him. Like, where is he?
Well, one friend did say he was probably out there with a side piece.
I can respect that.
Yeah.
That's a long time to spend with the side piece, though.
That's true. That's like bordering on relationship territory.
Yeah, that's no. He's too young for that.
Well, she is very, very cute and very sweet. Although, how loud she is.
I know.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, she gave it a day before she really let her rip. She can meow pretty loud for something that's not even 3 pounds.
And about nothing.
She likes Prosecco, though.
She's very interested by the bubbles, yeah.
You're sitting there watching the carbonation bubbles go up. I'm like, you were meant to live here.
That's right. And she's not the only new little pet in town.
I know everybody's getting new pets. Your ex got a puppy?
Yeah, not me. I'm good. Yeah, my ex got a puppy, a little two-month-old Havanese.
They're really cute. They look like wind-up toys.
Yeah. Do you remember those little dogs when we were kids? There were these little battery-operated dogs that would sit there and like...
And then they flip?
Yeah, they would like flip backwards.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah, she does look like a
wind-up
toy.
She looks like one of those that would do a little flip.
She's really cute.
Very cute.
It's so fun for kids to have a new little kitty or puppy to play with.
Yeah, and I'm thrilled that the one that takes a hell of a lot more work is at their dad's house and not mine.
Silver linings.
I did suggest that they go adopt a puppy from, adopt a dog, I should say, from a shelter because.
Yeah, to be clear, we got our kitten from the Humane Society.
Yes. I really am a big believer in, you know, taking care of the animals that are already out there. But both my ex and my daughter have had their hearts set on a Havanese specifically for so very long, years at this point. And you're not getting that dog from a shelter. Nobody is giving up a Havanese, certainly not a Havanese puppy.
No.
And if they did, they'd be gone in a second. So right. He did go through a very conscientious breeder, a good one, you know. And she told him that she breeds show quality dogs.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, I'm sure it was not cheap. But the breeder told him that this puppy, Sally is her name, wasn't show quality because of her coloring. Oh. She just didn't have the right coloring.
So mean.
I know, right? She's apparently considered companion quality. When he told me that, I was like, oh my God, me too. Perfect.
Oh, God.
I should be putting that on my dating profile for sure.
What age do you think you stopped being show quality and started being more companion quality?
I mean, generally speaking, I don't know. For me, I'm going to say it was somewhere around 29.
Or, you know, after having kids.
Well, that's when I got pregnant. I was 29.
Okay. Man, that makes so much sense. All these other horrendous things that the apps make you pick. Uh-huh. You know, like we've talked about how like you have to pick from four different body types or whatever.
Yeah, they should just have a filter. Or not a filter, but a little checkbox. Like, are you? Which one of these are you?
Yeah. Show quality, companion quality. What else could there be?
Garbage. Because guess what? There's a lot of garbage
and out
there.
Hot garbage. Slightly worse. I was talking to this guy the other day. He was telling me about this girl and he's like, well, here, I'll just show you because he's trying to describe to me what she looks like. Mm-hmm. And he pulled up photos of her and he was like, oh, and he's like, well, she looks great in these. Every time I see her, she looks like hot garbage.
I was lovely. Like,
that's nice. That's
really nice statement, sir.
Right. You know, you can fake being show quality.
Oh, God,
filters.
Yeah. They make it pretty easy. We've talked about that a little bit.
We have. We've also talked about how men don't seem to be, I mean, they're aware that women do this, but a guy could be show quality and he picks his hot garbage pictures. Like, for guys sure. do not know how to take and or select pictures for their dating apps.
Right. It's either a bunch of pictures of them silhouette far away, you know, hiking somewhere.
Hiking, skiing, fishing.
Right. Or a bunch of mirror selfies at the gym.
Or like selfies that are all taken at the same time. Like six selfies right. that were all taken.
Clearly the same outfit sitting in the same place. My favorite is when, you know, they've got the phone down like at table level.
Right.
And they're kind of leaning back and the lens is pointing up at their face.
Right.
So you get
like the worst.
The worst angle. Because, you know, if you're looking down like that, even if you don't have any kind of double chin, you're going to give yourself at least right. a little bit of one. It's just not a flattering angle.
Also, the mirror selfie. Looking at their phone.
Instead of the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see them, but their eyes are downcast yeah. and you can kind of see a flash from the phone.
Have you ever opened your camera on your phone and like you think you're looking cute that day or whatever, and then you open your camera and it's on the self-facing side oh, yeah. and the way that you're looking at your phone, you're like, oh my God, what is that troll? Quite startling.
Now I know I'm single.
God.
Also, when kids use your phone and take pictures, my kids, when we're watching a movie or something, they like to do my hair and then take pictures yeah. of it. The other day, my daughter did my makeup.
Oh, she sure did.
I looked like a clown. I had to send a picture to Michelle, mm-hmm. but they're like, let me take a picture, Mom. Not only is it not quite stylish what they've done, but also the pictures are horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to delete those later so they don't get shared.
Every once in a while, I'll ask my daughter, like, oh, can you take a picture of me here doing this? Whatever. And they're always complete trash. I can't keep them. I can't use them for anything.
Right.
Never mind.
When do you think it is okay to use a filter? We've done that in the past, not specifically for dating apps, but oh, there's like four of us at a concert or something. We're going to take a group picture and like somebody puts a filter on it.
Well, we definitely went through a phase when everyone was using the pretty filter on Snapchat.
Right.
I don't know what it's actually called. That's what I called
That's
it.
That's what we all call it. Yeah. The pretty filter. Obviously, everyone does because it's like the one filter that never goes away.
That and the little mouse ears.
The puppy dog.
The puppy dog lick. Oh, yeah. The pretty filter would lighten everything up. The picture would be overexposed, so it's super bright.
Smooth everything out.
Smooth you out. I think it also maybe slenderized just a fraction.
Yeah, I think it did some, what is it called? Face tuning or something sure. that people use on other apps.
There was a good year there that's how all of us took all of our photos.
We weren't right. putting those pictures on dating apps, were we? Like maybe one out of five or something like that.
I don't remember when I really became aware of, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't yeah. want to be some false version of myself.
Right.
And I wasn't lying about anything really.
Well, I think probably the more that you see everybody's photos and it's clear that they're all so filtered.
Right.
It starts to feel like really inauthentic and you're like, this seems really fake.
For sure. I remember having a moment of like, I'm going to make sure none of them are filtered. And for at least a couple of years now, I haven't had any filtered photos on any of my profiles, any of my many dating app profiles.
In my 17 profiles. Did you know that Zoom now has a feature where you can click a button in the video settings that says touch up my appearance? Mm-hmm. I definitely click that button because when it's an 8 o'clock meeting, you know, a virtual meeting, mm-hmm. and I am tired and not feeling it.
Can it like make me look like I did my hair and got out of my pajamas?
It's not that good.
Damn it.
But I will say that it definitely looks like you had Botox.
Well, I didn't.
Well, it's just, I don't know. You just have to try it. But what would be like the work equivalent of show quality and companion quality? It would kind of be like 8 hours of sleep versus 4.5. Click that button and you might reach like a good 6 hour.
Just lessen those bags under your eyes just a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly.
I could use that.
So I guess that could happen in a work environment too. Like after the pandemic, if you're doing all virtual meetings.
You go to the office and people are like, are you new? Who are you? I haven't met you yet,
you're
have
always
I?
Always clicking the touch up my appearance button and then you go to the office.
No, I'm Michelle. Wait, what?
I thought you were Michelle's mom.
Oh, so rude.
Oh, God.
I do think it's really funny how so many guys just don't seem to know what looks good or the best way to present themselves. I see so many pictures on guys' profiles of like, here's this place I've been. It's behind me. And here's one third of my face. Off the edge.
That's because they've cut out the girl that's in the picture with them.
Well, okay, but give me two thirds of your face then, not one third.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's fair. They don't even know how to edit it. The cropping skills are poor.
Or they're just bragging about the places they've been.
Well, girls do that too. Mm-hmm. Not to backtrack, but, you know, we're talking about looking like you are more refreshed and have had more sleep. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the winter, especially in Seattle, when people are essentially like hibernating.
I look sallow and pasty.
Right, because it's dark at 4:40. Oh,
God.
And it doesn't it's get coming. Light until like 9 o'clock.
No, you go to work in the dark and you come home in the dark.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's just a really tiring time.
Yeah, like it's hibernation time.
You get home and you just feel like you want to go to bed. There needs to be a filter for that, like make you look a little tanner, make you look a little more awake.
That's well, why. There are. There's lots of those.
We didn't really do any research for this episode, but I'm pretty sure that I have read some articles in some hard-hitting periodicals, like Cosmo, that the springtime, when it's lighter longer and the weather changes, that's when people start to get a little more thirsty with the dating apps.
Yeah, because they come out of hibernation.
Exactly. And by late spring, early summer, everyone's trying to hook up. But in the winter, the effort is just insurmountable at times.
Certainly here. I bet there are places where it's easier. There are places where it's easier to date just generally anytime. This is not it.
What were you saying the other day? We were hanging out with Cody and Rob and you were spouting off some stats about dating in Seattle.
There's a podcast called The Great Love Debate with Brian Howie,
who I've talked to on a dating app
which
before.
Is hilarious. He must have been in town for a show.
He was in town for a show. Yep.
They do live shows all over the place. And I mean, I don't know what they're doing during the pandemic, but every year they do a survey of thousands of people. Like I think it was almost 100,000 people this last time around all over the country to figure out what is the best place to date and what is the worst place to date. And they do like a top 10 for each. And Seattle was the number one worst place to date for 2018 and 2019. I don't know about last year and I'm not sure if they've done it yet this year.
From personal experimentation, I can tell you bleak. Pretty bleak.
Yeah. Yeah. It had beat out Denver, which had been number one four times previously. And then Seattle has really taken over.
That doesn't surprise me too much because I have some single friends dating in Denver who, you know, we can sort of
commiserate
about the tough dating scene. So they'll be happy to know that it's not unfounded.
Right. And I mean, it really does feel like, God, what am I doing wrong? But it's not just me. This place is hard.
It is. But why? Like, I don't know why.
I couldn't find a list of things. It just was a little quick blurb.
I mean, we're nice, lovely, single moms.
Fuck yeah, we are.
You know, are fun and give a shit about
fellow humans,
and families, and put effort into how we look and all the things.
Sometimes. Or I just turn on the touch me up.
Yeah. We're good companion quality.
I am great companion quality.
Where the fuck are all the companion quality guys?
That's all I'm asking. I don't need a fucking show quality guy.
People always say like, oh, there's got to be so many, especially we're early 40s, right? There's got to be so many guys that are like really nice, single dads, freshly divorced or whatever. And I'm like, well, I don't know where they are. They are all at a convention somewhere.
I haven't found them.
I have no clue.
You know where they are? Not in this city.
As soon as they got divorced, they moved out of Seattle.
Yeah, right. Okay, here's what it says. This was from an article on Como News, which is our local ABC affiliate. This must have been from the 2018 list. Could it really be true that Seattle is the worst city in America to find true love? That's the conclusion of national touring series of live town hall style shows by the Great Love Debate podcast, which seeks to answer the question, why is everyone still single?
Is it so hard?
Yeah, right. So let's see. Of all the places where the disconnect grew wider this year, Seattle's grew the widest, leaving a gloomy puddle of aggravated women, socially awkward men, and rainwater.
Damn.
Sounds right.
That's some real talk right there.
Let's read the blurbs for other cities here so some of our other listeners can get in on the fun. The other nine cities named by the podcast as the worst in the nation for finding love. San Jose. I'm guessing that's second. A sorry stalemate between women who think they're too good for him and men who think they're entitled to her.
Woo.
Just, you know, one more plug for entitlement being the worst fucking thing that's ever happened to humanity.
That sounds like the description of a reality show.
Totally. Yeah. Phoenix. Go ahead, guys. Offer to take her on a date. She will take that offer and shop it around till she can find a better one.
Oof.
Portland, Oregon, to be clear, not Maine. Trying to be the center of... Sorry. Trying to be the center of the beard and beer universe, those are all capitalized, is never a good way to show you actually care about dating.
Hey, some of us like beards, and a lot of people like beer.
True, absolutely true. But Portland certainly has that, you know, beard, beer, hipster reputation.
They're leaning into that vibe for sure, yeah.
Denver, our 2017 worst city and still home to the most passive men in America.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's hard to do because Seattle is pretty fucking passive.
Seriously, I thought that
was
here.
Only an extremely communicative and accommodating group of women kept the Mile High City out of the basement this year. Good job, girls. let's see. Philadelphia. Hard to find love in a place where the women believe all the men are jerks and the men all believe that's a compliment. That sounds about right. Dallas. The city with the best women in America and a collection of men who hide from them and a whole lot else beneath those big hats. Vegas. People go to Vegas to have fun. Nobody goes to Vegas to be happy.
People go to Vegas because they're miserable.
Right.
And they're trying to distract themselves.
It's an escape.
Also, it is really fun and I like going there, but...
Yeah, I haven't been for a long time, but I don't think I slept while I was there last time for 4 days. I can take a 10-year break before I go back.
Fair.
Number 9, New York. New York women watched Sex and the City for a decade, hoping Carrie would end up with Mr. Big. Lots of NYC men notice and act like Mr. Big, but don't look anything like Chris Noth.
Here's the thing, though. Do you think Chris Noth is good looking?
He's got real, like, hot dad vibes to me.
Oh, really? I would never think of him that way.
I don't...
I think he has sex appeal, you know, like in his demeanor and the way that he carries himself. But I wouldn't just look at him and not know anything about his character and be like, ooh, that guy's hot.
Yeah, I guess I'm not super attracted to him. I say hot dad vibes. I just mean like I don't look at him as a contemporary. Like if he was my friend's dad, I'd be like, your dad's hot, you know?
Oh, okay.
But I would, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I wouldn't be going out of my way.
Sure. I get that.
Yeah.
This just made me think of how I accidentally super liked somebody on Tinder the other day. I told you that.
Well, you know, just side note real quick. It's really hard to go between apps.
Right. That's what I was just going to say.
Oh, sorry. I totally.
No, go for it.
I stole your punchline. because when you're on Bumble and Hinge, you go up and down.
You scroll up to see more on someone's profile.
You scroll nicely up and down, which makes total sense on a phone. That's just how things work. To see more pictures, to see information. Whatever. On Tinder, it's not like that. You can't swipe side to side because then you're liking them or not liking them. You have to tap side to side on the photos. If you swipe up to see more photos like you would on other apps, then you accidentally super like.
Right. And I have had many accidental super likes, not all at my own hand.
No.
Jen.
My favorite was the one Jen did. That guy's beard was phenomenal.
Okay. I like a bearded man, but this guy was like, I don't remember how old he was, at least 60, right?
And oh, it didn't say 60. He was trying to pretend he was like our age.
Right. A lot of guys do that. And I'm sure girls do too. It said like 45, but he was definitely at least 60.
That's what the white neck beard would suggest. Anyway.
Yeah. So his beard was only a neck beard.
Right. There was nothing on his chin.
His face was shaved. But then he had a long ZZ Top looking neck beard that was pure white.
Like at least 8 inches of beard from his neck.
And so it was totally one of those situations where I was like, oh my God, you guys have to look at this neck beard. It's crazy. And Jen.
Damn it, Jen.
Calling you out right now was... like, oh, I want to see more. And, you know, she's not experienced on the apps because she's happily married. And so she's probably used to like looking at Bumble or something. She doesn't know what she's doing. She does an online date.
She's a fucking amateur.
So she went to scroll up. But the thing is, I had just said, don't scroll up because it will super like. And I was like watching it in slow motion happening.
We all cheered.
And I was like, Jen, no. And like. Boom, it's super like
so. Funny.
And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, take this away from me.
I mean, it's not like you have to marry him then. That's, you know, it's just an app.
That wasn't what I was thinking of because we were talking about attractive older men and the neck beard was too much. But just yesterday, I made the same mistake where I just, you know, muscle memory took over and I scrolled up to see more photos of this guy.
It's hazardous.
And it super liked him. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I probably would have swiped right on the guy. But he did say right in his profile, it says I'm 45. I'm actually 55. And I'm sure he did that to like, you know, get himself filtered into a group of
gotta beat those algorithms.
Women, I guess. I mean, he was cute.
Yeah.
He wasn't like knock your socks off or anything, but his profile was good and he was cute. But instantly he matches with me. And he's like, oh my God, thanks for the super like. And I'm like, you're welcome.
That was not a mistake at all.
How's your day going?
Oh no.
And so we chatted for a bit. And the weird thing is, it turns out he went to college where I went to college, but just several years before me.
Right. So yeah, a good decade plus.
Yeah. Anyway, so that happens. What are other mistakes on apps that happen regularly?
Let's get to that after I finish this top 10 list.
Oh, we're not done with the top 10.
There's only one more.
Okay. Ooh.
And it's the least interesting.
Yeah. Oh, it's not like the best for last
and the
situation.
Most predictable. No, no.
Okay.
Los Angeles, 10th worst city to date in. It's simply too nice and too self-absorbed day in and day out for Angelenos to get too involved with another human being. I think any one of us could have written that.
Yeah, probably. That was pretty funny, though.
I like this. I want to know where we're at after 18 months of fucking lockdown.
Well, hit him up on Instagram. Tag him in this episode and then tell
him. Excuse me, Mr. Brian Howie.
Also, Brian, do you remember talking to me?
He probably only talked to you while he was here. So it was super memorable is my guess.
I'm sure. And you know what? He was probably likely just doing research for his show. He probably didn't actually want to go on a date with anyone here.
Right. Okay. Other mistakes people make. So just today, I decided this morning with a little egging on from Megan that it was time to get serious about swiping.
I'm a pusher.
Absolutely.
She's been thirsty for a while. As you guys all know, we're reaching dehydration levels. She needs to go on a date.
Speaking of dehydration, I have started drinking a hell of a lot more water.
Why is this in our podcast?
Because I feel really excited about it and I'm proud of myself, goddammit.
Okay.
Anyway, and to clarify, and I've probably said this before, but yes, I'm fucking thirsty and I really...
Oh, I'm just joking.
I know. I really am thirsty for, some dick, but also... Sorry, Mom. But also,
I like the transparency.
A lot of companionship. And I just.
Well, you
am
are companion
it.
Quality.
Abso-fucking.
So you should be able to find someone. If you were show quality, you'd just be beating them off with a stick.
I'd be beating the D's away.
I think companion quality is a good place to be.
I agree. And I really think I'm I'm at the top of the list for companion quality, guys.
What do they do with the dogs in the litter that aren't show or companion quality?
Well, maybe they don't cost thousands of dollars. They just go to the shelter at that point.
Okay, so
you know what I mean?
That's what it should be. Show quality, companion quality, shelter quality.
Hot garbage.
Reject. Hot garbage.
Hot garbage. Anyway, so I started swiping quite a bit more today. And most of the time when I get these little upticks in my swiping, nothing comes of it. Just fucking nothing happens.
God, so annoying.
It's really fucking annoying. But today I've had some fairly good engagement. There was a guy that I matched with. And I was trying to be a little more personal in my introduction messages. This is all in Bumble, so I have to start the conversation. And often I'll just be like, hey, Joe Blow, how's your week going? Or whatever. Because I get fucking tired of wasting my energy on coming up with some cool message to start with because it doesn't fucking matter anyway.
Well, and then they get all sensitive about it. They'll say right in their profile,
my weekend was fine. I'm having a good day.
Right. Don't
do
come
better.
At me with those questions.
Right. Fuck off, man.
Dang, dude.
Anyway, in his profile, he led with hashtag dad life.
Ah.
And so I just said, hey, hope your week is off to a good start. How many kids do you have? I have 2. And today was a flurry of emails getting ready for back to school on Wednesday. I'm not getting too deep, but.
Yeah, that's better than just how was your day, though?
Right. And I got 5 messages back to back from him. Hi, I have 2 and same ... We go back next week, though. THO. Blank school district. When are you free to hang with me?
Yeah, you guys are tight at this point.
What? So I waited a while on that. I mean, I screenshotted it and sent it to you, but I waited a while to answer and I sent him a GIF of Jimmy Fallon and it says, well, that escalated quickly. And then I just did the laugh cry face and said, I don't usually meet up with someone until I've gotten to know them at least a little bit.
Fair.
Right. I think so. And he said, well, hard to do that over app ... I like to not waste time in general. I'd spend more time on this app if I didn't just try and meet people ... But good luck to you. Okay, bye.
Wow.
Whatever, dude.
I mean, it feels like he dodged a bullet, but still.
I mean, if that's the way he's looking at it, then I don't give a fuck about meeting that person.
Totally.
But it's so bizarre to me.
We've talked about this before, how the messaging is such a strong indicator, regardless of what someone looks like.
Yeah.
whether they're show quality. I can't let it go.
No, it's amazing.
But here, I'll just read you some funny messaging I had with a guy that I did go out on one coffee date with, and we'll probably go out again. We were talking, and we probably did start with the, like, how's it going?
Right. What are you up how's to? How's your day? Whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
And I said, I'm drinking coffee on my back deck. And I sent a photo of my backyard because it looks nice right now.
Which you can only do in Bumble, not Hinge and Tinder, by the way.
And he immediately said, unsolicited deck pic.
Yes, 10 out of 10, would sit on.
Anyway, so let's see. Oh, actually, this messaging was after we had had a date.
So you're probably actually texting at this point.
Yes, okay. Yes. So one of the things that he told me on the date, he's like quite a handy guy and awesome. Very good at
you like
fixing
that.
The things, right?
You like that a lot.
See episode one.
And also, see, she's a homeowner now, so that's going to come in nice and handy.
Lots of stuff happening. So anyway, he had told me on the date that he felt like his last girlfriend was just dating him to like fix up her house basically. And he's like, I swear I was always doing something over there, like she had a list. So anyway, he said, that looks like a great place for morning coffee. And I said, it is. My backyard is the best part of my house. Can't wait till we are more serious and I can use you to remodel. And he said, fool me once. All of our messaging has been like that. Before we went out on the date and then on the date, I was just cracking up constantly. Mm-hmm. And when we did go on the date, it was last week. So it was like, you know, the cat disappeared mm-hmm. and like some other shit blew up last week. So it was not a great week. So to sit there and laugh my ass off for like an hour.
And lose track of time, right?
Yeah.
When you left, you texted me and you're like, I can't believe it's been an hour and a half.
Yeah. So the messaging, if it's good and witty and funny, will typically lead to good in-person chemistry like that, too.
God, I need that witty banter.
Except for people just, you know, focus on the pictures. And just because somebody is show quality does not mean that they can exchange witty banter with you.
Absolutely not. We've definitely talked about this before, but I honestly feel like if I see somebody who's like, I was going to say magazine hot. What does that mean?
I thought you were going to say mega hot for no, some reason. I was going to say like a model.
Magazine hot? That's not a category. You know what I mean though, right? But if I see somebody, like if all the pictures are posed and they look amazing and all the people are probably going to be going after them, I say no, which might be unfair, quote unfair to them that I'm not giving them a chance to show me they're an actual human with nice witty things to say.
But they have options. They have options.
That's true. Fine.
There's a whole Sex and the City. Again, back to Sex and the City. There's a whole episode about this. It's like early on in the very first season where they talk about guys who are modelizers.
Modelizers
that only date models.
Oh, okay.
So there's a whole episode where one of the girls goes out with a guy who is normally a modelizer.
He's just slumming it for a little bit.
Yeah, and she knocks it out of the park on the date. She's like so witty and funny with his friends and, you know, just really charismatic and great. And then one of the friends accidentally slips when they're like putting stuff away in the kitchen. And she's like, oh, God, it's so nice to have a regular girl here and not a model. She's like, what?
I'm sorry, what now?
Yeah, so it doesn't turn out very well in the end, but
probably not, no. I don't know that show nearly as well as you do.
Oh, yeah. I know that show like you know Schitt's Creek.
And Friends. And The Office.
Keep going.
I watch too much TV.
Since this episode is really about nothing, it's just us shooting the shit.
It's what we do best.
Should talk about Dr. Death a little bit.
Ooh, yeah.
Such a good cast.
Guys, sorry. Folks, y'all, trying to be inclusive with my language here.
Guys, gals, everyone.
Everyone, all the people should watch Dr. Death. So I listened to the podcast a few years ago. It was produced by Wondery. They do some amazing shit.
Who's Wondery? I don't know this.
Wondery is a podcast network.
Oh.
Most of their stuff is true crime, but they'll take a story and do a season of that story. So Dr. Death was probably a 10 episode arc.
Okay.
And they would talk about this. So now there is a kind of fictionalized, but really not much, but acted, you know, it's a scripted acted show.
Which normally I would much prefer true crime to be like docu-series.
Well,
you know,
that exists too. So we got to watch that one next.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's two of them. Dr. Yeah. Christopher
but
Dunch.
This particular fictionalized, you know, series. I mean,
it's scripted, not fictionalized.
It's scripted. Well, they say in the beginning it's like somewhat fictionalized.
Yeah, but they've made some artistic liberties or whatever.
Right. But the cast is so great.
Awesome.
Alec Baldwin, Christian Slater, Joshua Jackson, who Michelle is best friends with, by the way. way.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's exactly how that story went.
He went to your school for like a semester or something,
yes,
right?
When I was in seventh grade, he was in town because he grew up in Canada. He's Canadian. I don't know what part, but he was down here because he was playing the lead in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at the Fifth Avenue Theater.
Okay.
And he needed somewhere to go to school for a semester. And so he went to my school. He was in eighth grade, so a year older than me. And he was in my speech and drama class. So I got to act with Pacey, which was not that exciting because he was nobody yet. But we knew he was in town to be an actor, so that was kind of cool.
Did you feel like, I mean, I know you probably had limited experience at that age, but did you feel like he was best in class?
I don't know. At all. I have no idea. I was 11 years old.
So he didn't like get up there to act and you weren't like, ooh, he's so good.
All I remember is that everyone was like, oh my God, he's a real actor. Anyway.
Well, he's a great actor in this show because yes. I don't think I've ever seen anyone portray someone so arrogant and narcissistic so well. I want to punch him in the face.
Fucking sociopath.
And I really like him in real life. But in
yeah,
the
every
show,
time we've hung out, he's like super nice.
I know. Well, you know, when we're getting together with your old grade school pals.
Right. Yes.
Who else is in it?
Kelsey Grammer makes an appearance.
Yep.
I don't know Dr. Morgan. I don't know her name, but I've seen her in other things.
Yeah. She is really non-traditionally pretty.
Is she the woman in the Truman Show who like wants him to get out?
Hang on.
If not, she has the same kind of unique look, which yeah, is she does the dumbest thing look. I've said. No, the same.
That's not dumb.
No, the same unique look. Yeah. Anyway.
She's got an identical uniqueness. Look.
Jesus.
Hang on. Let's see. Grace Gummer. Oh, is she Meryl Streep's daughter?
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah. Her mom is Meryl Streep. Her dad is Don Gummer. So since we're down the TV show rabbit hole.
We're all over the place.
Last night, I was just sitting here wearing the kitten out. I decided to try to find like a good crime documentary to watch. I turned on this documentary, not realizing that it was made in 2010. So, you know, the production value of documentaries, especially true crime ones now, are badass.
Pretty good. Yeah.
So one that's 11 years old is pretty like meh.
Yeah.
And it was about that girl from Vienna, Natasha, I can't remember her last name, that got kidnapped when she was 10 years old. And she had to live in that like little cell basically for 10 years.
We talked about her on our Stockholm Syndrome episode.
Yeah. And she was a very heavy participant in this documentary, but she wasn't speaking English. So it was all voiceover.
Not just caption, but actual voiceover.
One of the reasons that it was so bad is the person doing the voiceover.
At least some of them had like a horribly thick Southern accent or something.
No, but it was very dry and bland and boring.
Monotonous. So,
yeah. I was in the cell for 10 hours at least every day.
Are you sure it wasn't a computer?
Immediately, I got tired.
Well, perfect.
It's like, that's okay, great. This is so hard to watch. Like, the subject is interesting. It was so hard to access where he kept her. It would take him like an hour just to get down there every time.
People are fucking nuts, man.
I know. She was the one who like bawled when she found out that he'd committed suicide. Right. But that's some fucked up shit. Anybody who thinks that that's the victim's personal shit needs to do more reading.
Okay? Absolutely. Yeah. There's some fucked up people out there, man.
And you actually went to a movie in the theater the other day, which I still haven't done since the beginning of COVID.
That was such a segue. I was not expecting. I literally was like, oh no, I did what? Where's this going? I did go to a movie. I took my son to go see the Paw Patrol movie, which was Oscar quality for sure. Show quality.
I'm sure. You probably
show quality pups.
Waited in line for hours to go to that.
I will say that I didn't hate it, but you know how so many kids' movies these days have so many little things in there, little snippets in there for the adults?
Right.
It really wasn't that. And and granted, it's Paw Patrol, so it's really for like the preschool set. But he's
that theme song. I haven't seen Paw Patrol in years, but as soon as you say it, Paw Patrol, it just pops right in my head.
Be there on the double.
Evil. It's like the Yo Gabba Gabba thing.
Oh my God, I loved Yo Gabba Gabba.
I know, but it gets stuck in your head. Or Sophia the First, or the worst of all time.
Oh no, you're going to say it and then everyone's going to hate us.
The fucking Wonder Pets. I hate the Wonder Pets.
But I don't remember the song, but that's okay. Don't sing it. No. La 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 la. I can't hear you.
Oh my God. This episode is kind of hot garbage.
We are devolving quickly here. It might be time to go. Do you have anything else to discuss?
Yeah, oh. I do, actually.
Oh, okay. What is it?
This is really random, as is this whole episode, so it feels like the right time to talk about it.
Let's do it.
With the missing cat, I was trying to do anything and everything I could to bring awareness to the neighborhood about the missing kitty. Talking to neighbors, putting up signs, everything. Not on social media, but a friend of mine in the hood put a posting on our neighborhood Facebook page for me. But I got on this app called Nextdoor.
Oh, I'm sure everybody knows about Nextdoor.
Oh, my God.
Megan is in social media hell right now because Nextdoor is the worst place to start if you don't like social media.
I will say that some very kind people in the neighborhood have messaged me and said, hey, I might have seen this cat. But it is this vapid, horrible place for people to just be themselves. And I don't like it.
As it turns out, I don't like people.
There's just like no etiquette or rules. For example, I've been looking at a lot of posts about people missing cats or cats that have passed away unexpectedly because, I don't know, maybe whatever happened to their cat happened to my cat. This lady posted about how they had these two cats that they loved and treasured as members of the family. And then overnight, both of them just like dropped dead. And they were
so
trying to.
Sad.
I know. And they were trying to figure out, were they poisoned? What happened? This guy commented, oh, I can't read it because it was taken down, thank God. But he said something really offensive, like, you're a sick in the head mental R word if you let your cats outside. Your cats were fucking murdered. Get over it.
What a fucking dick.
I know. And then people post, like, I saw a post the other day where someone was saying that when she came home from the grocery store, her neighbor was waiting for her in her driveway. And she was like, what's up? And she was like, oh, I'm so worried. I just had to wait for you and let you know, tell you about this really sketchy African-American man hanging around your house and in your yard. And she described him. The lady's like, oh, yeah, that's my son.
You asshole.
I mean, I see all these posts and I'm like horrified.
It's like every neighborhood Facebook page. They're all the fucking same. It's awful.
Jesus.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I need the cat to come home is so I can get off this fucking app.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to be done. This is not the place for you, Megan.
No. This is not my world.
Mm-mm. You know whose world it is? Busybodies and pieces of shit. It's the people who want to tell you about the sketchy person that just walked down the street wearing a hooded sweatshirt.
It definitely feels like a place for people who don't have a lot going on.
That's true.
Which,
that's
very lonely. Those are the people bored that might see your cat.
I know. You need them. Buddy, come home, Brooklyn.
Where you at? Let go of that side piece.
She's not worth it, man. Yeah. Your home is here waiting for you. And you have a new little sister.
She's show and companion quality.
Fucking right.
Oh, okay. Well, so that's all I had to get off my chest. How about you? Kids go back to school in 2 days.
Oh, my God. I spent so long today trying to get schedules in place, my son's transportation, emailing back and forth with his team at his school, looping in his therapist, and trying to get everything squared away so that we have a chance of this going well. I'm not super optimistic about it. One of his therapists did an assessment with him late last week, getting
like
ready to
academic?
Go back. No, behavioral.
Okay.
And it didn't go great.
Oh, really? I haven't heard about this.
Yeah, he was adamantly opposed to doing something that someone else wanted him to do.
Oh.
He just wanted to do what he wanted to do.
I mean.
And this is a therapist that he fucking loves.
I mean, he hasn't had to be in that kind of environment for quite a while.
He's been going to this clinic for therapy almost That's this true. Whole time, but he hasn't had significant task demand placed on him. And so when I went to pick him up, she's like, can you step out of the car for a minute? I was like, oh fuck.
Oh boy.
Fortunately, I know her really well, but she's telling me that she had asked some things of him. And I knew going into the day that that was what she was going to be doing. But
Right. Yeah,
he screamed at her. Like
really?
When he was going to call the cops on you.
Oh, right.
She's like, I don't hear that much.
Yeah, that's why I had such a reaction because I know how much he adores her. Mm-hmm. So it just surprised me.
Oh, she's his favorite person. Way over me. Over his dad. No. For sure. Oh, he loves her. But he was yelling that he never wanted to go back there. He never wanted to see her again.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He threw a toy and broke it. So on the way home, we had a little chatty chat in the car. And then I made him send her a Marco Polo apologizing for breaking the toy and screaming at her.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. So school's going to go great. I'm pretty sure that 6 hours of sitting in a classroom doing what teachers and other people tell you to do is going to be exactly what he wants to do.
Well, my kids haven't been in school since March of 2020. What year is it?
2020. Yeah, time means nothing.
I keep wanting to say 2019 for some reason. It's pretty funny how pretty much every year, except for last year because of COVID, we go school shopping. We get some school clothes, some shoes, some supplies, backpacks, mm-hmm. all the stuff, and they're all ready to go. My kids just asked me the other day, they're like, do you think we could go get some like paper and pencils Tuesday night?
Like, oh, right.
School starts on Wednesday morning.
You probably need those.
Oh, yeah, we could probably run to Target and do that.
I love back to school shopping. I always have. Even as a kid, I was like, I want new school supplies every year. I thought it was the coolest thing. I don't know why.
Well,
fresh paper and pencils and shit.
You love that kind of stuff now, too.
Well, that's true. This year, I had every intention of shopping and like getting all the stuff on the list. And then I was like, oh, fuck it. And I just did it on Amazon. And then I felt bad. But
I don't
whatever.
Know so much, though, if that is a product of COVID or just our kids being older now. I mean,
I'm tired.
Well, both my kids are in middle school. You know, we've done this before mm-hmm. many times. How bad do you really need that new set of markers or whatever? And I think right. when you're in middle school, it's not so much of like a big list, like glue and erasers and Kleenex for the classroom and stuff.
Wait,
like
does
that.
Anybody need glue? Because last year, I don't know why, but I bought a 12 pack of Elmer's glue. So I have a
huffing
lot
it.
Of glue.
Oh, see, my kids would have used all that shit by now. If there's anything they could use in a craft project.
There is a gallon of glue sitting on the desk over
okay,
there.
To be fair, that was when they were in a slime making phase, which thank fucking God that is over.
I hate slime. There's some stuck in my car, like on the little seatbelt part and between the seats.
I just heard your ex tell your daughter the other day when we were over meeting the wind-up puppy
mm-hmm.
that at their old place that he moved out of.
Oh, yeah.
There is like thinking putty
uh-huh.
jammed into the carpet that wouldn't come out.
Uh-huh.
My kids were obsessed.
Do they call it that because it's supposed to be like a fidget type thing?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, mm-hmm. on my son's third grade class supply list, he's got all the stuff he's supposed to have, and then he's got stuff that is supposed to be shared for the class. And then there's things that like, we're going to need donations of these things throughout the year. And it's right. like notebook paper, pencils, wipes,
right?
Sugarless gum.
Yeah, it's for when they're taking tests. They let the kids have gum
what
when they're taking tests.
Absolute maniac is going to give a classroom of 8-year-olds gum.
I don't know.
That is the most self-harming thing I've ever heard. What are you doing? Why would you do that?
I don't know why it's supposed to be helpful. I think maybe kids that have to focus on the test and can't do that, the chewing gum helps them.
Yeah, apparently it does. I don't know.
It kind of sounds like bullshit too, though.
No, no, there's science behind it. I just am trying to imagine my son
mm-hmm.
with gum. And it sounds like a terrible idea.
I can't wait to see what's going to be on the supply list in like 10 years.
They're going to be like MacBook Pro and okay.
Although one thing, this might be helpful for anyone who's listening that's a teacher. My good friend that I work with, her daughter is a teacher, and she was telling me that because she has to wear a mask when she teaches, she uses one of those little microphone things under her mask.
Yeah.
Because the kids can't really hear or understand her with the mask on. It's just really muffled. And it kind of saves her voice too from having to like project and speak louder because she has a mask on. I thought that was really smart. So you wear a little microphone under your mask and then the kids can actually hear you.
That is smart. Also, for any teachers out there, please chime in and let us know if you like wine for your teacher appreciation gift. Because I'd like to
know. I feel like
it
should be mandatory. After COVID, it might need to be something harder, like vodka.
Cocaine.
Yeah. We have deteriorated to cocaine.
We've gone from kittens and puppies to cocaine. It's time to go.
I just want to say that I feel like you are both show and companion quality in my book.
Thanks, honey.
Never hot garbage.
Never. Sometimes shelter quality, but never hot garbage.
Well, usually that's a product of what we've done the night before. And we're both in that shelter together. So.
Well, I appreciate that, and back at you.
Well, let's cheers to that.
Right after I tell the people, the good people of the world, while you sigh about it. Number one, please let us know what questions you have. We still need a few more questions for our Ask Us Anything episode that we will do someday. We would like to know what you want to know. You can do that on our social media at Prosecco Theory. She's laughing at me.
Do I have the voice on again? No, I'm waiting for you to go, number two.
Oh.
Because I'm 10.
Yeah, but you don't like poop jokes.
I know.
What? You don't get to have it both ways. God damn it. Okay.
Sorry.
At Prosecco Theory, that's us. Email us, cheers at Prosecco Theory. We still have merch on TeePublic. Maybe we'll just make a shirt that says puppies and cocaine.
No, I think we should make some merch that says companion quality.
I'm absolutely going to wear a shirt in a profile picture that says companion quality.
I'm going to wear one to a bar.
Please do that.
Sometime when we're trolling for men.
Okay. Now.
Are you done? Now are we allowed to cheers?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay.
Cheers to watching more Dr. Death and new kittens and puppies and...
kittens and puppy and cocaine. Oh my!
Oh my!